Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to this week's Authentic Persuasion live weekly training session. Today is April 15th. Today is also Good Friday. This weekend is Easter. So hopefully people are doing well out there, ready for the holiday weekend, enjoying the week, doing well in the second quarter so far this year. I appreciate everyone who's tuning in today live, both on the webinar side, through Zoom directly, where you can chat and ask questions and engage through there, as well as everybody else who might be catching us on the live rebroadcast stream on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on the YouTube channel, which we hit over 1,000 subscribers. It's 1,100 subscribers now. So super excited for the YouTube channel. Lots of things coming up, lots of new content I'm putting out all the time. So if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, go into YouTube, just search Jason Cutter, find the channel. It's the only one on there, and subscribe. And then also appreciate everyone who might be listening in as a replay or on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. Thanks for tuning in. So today I am going to focus on what happens when people don't buy. Now, last week's session, session 27, was about why the sales experience matters. Now, one of the recent books that I had published is called Reasons Why Not to Focus on the Sales Experience. And obviously there's no reasons not to. And if you're in sales, it's all about that sales experience. And if you're in a leadership role, it's even more important that you build that for your team as well as for your potential customers, right? Because there's a lot of focus on the customer's experience and the customer journey. And a lot of times what's stepped over is what happens prior to them even being a customer. So I think that's important to build that and what you want that to look like, setting them up for success as a customer. So that's what we covered last time. And just so you know, the reason why I do these programs, why I do this training, is because it fits into my mission, which is to help enable and encourage over 1 million authentic persuaders in the world of sales, to help give tools and strategies and mindset tactics for you to use to sell in a way that's authentic to you and that's effective for your potential customers and moving them forward, both for their sake and for yours, right? There's nothing worse than being an order taker and hoping that people buy from you. There's also nothing worse than helping people buy, but at your own expense, right? So maybe it's not a good deal for you, or maybe you're not winning in your role or your company's not winning. And so it's about creating win-win scenarios, helping people get to a better place and being their guide, not always coming in as the hero, which I've talked about in other sessions in the past. So let's get to today. So today is going to be a little more tactical than I've done recently, where I want to talk about the scenario that happens when they don't buy from you. Now, what so many different people could be listening in, tuning into this now in so many different industries. You could be working in a B2C capacity and dealing with consumers directly, B2B, where you're dealing with people, but obviously they're buying on behalf of a company. No matter what, as I've said before, it's not B2C, it's not B2B, it's H to H. So it's human to human. Really, the big thing is that no matter what you sell, no matter who you're dealing with, no matter what your product is, your price point, the pain point that it solves, like any of that, none of that really matters at the fundamental base, which is you're dealing with another human. You're dealing with a person that has fears, they have concerns, they have worries, they have doubts, they have past experiences that might not have been great, that gave them a bad taste in their mouth about salespeople, that caused them to put their guard up and keep their walls up when engaged with somebody who's in sales because of what's happened in the past or what they've seen in movies and TV shows or what they've heard as horror stories from friends and family. Then they get to you. Then you speak with them. Then you're working towards persuading them to buy from you. Obviously, if it's a good fit, if it's something you can help them with, then you're going to try to move them forward. And that is your duty and responsibility, as we've talked about in the past. But you're up against all of those things. And everybody is fundamentally different. Everyone's had different experiences. They have different ways they like to buy. They have different things they need. They have their own goals, their wants, their desires. So at the fundamental, at the base level, it is human to human. It's you and them, you as their guide, them on some kind of path or journey, them worried and stuck in their comfort zone, which is why the authentic persuasion pathway is so important. And then it's about you guiding them outside of that comfort zone to change and helping them. Now, what could happen is if, depending on what you sell, you're going to have some short sales cycle experience and people out there watching and listening. And then there's long sales cycle. Some of you could be selling something where most of your buyers, most of your clients are one call or one meeting type situations, right? Think about someone who walks into a car dealership. They're interested in buying a car. Salesperson's going to want to sell them a car during that visit, because they know that the be back bus, as it's called, especially for new people who get excited about, oh, that person's going to be back. Don't worry. Like enough experience tells you that the be back bus doesn't exist and it's not bringing all these people back. That if you don't close them on the spot, you're never going to hear from them again. And then there's obviously the other end of the spectrum, which is long sales cycle, right? Like I have a client right now where that sales cycle might be 3, 6, 9 months, 12 months, 18 months, where it's enterprise level interactions. And you're dealing with giant billion-dollar companies who are going to make a decision, but it's going to involve a lot of people and it's going to take time and it's going to be slow. And then there's that end where long sale, enterprise cycle, and then there's short sales cycle. No matter what happens is there will be a percentage of people, no matter where you're at, where they don't buy from you today. Even in those one call, one meeting close, like the car sale example, or if you're dealing with someone and they called in to get help with their insurance, you want to do your best to help them now, but it's not always going to happen. Some buyers do not like to be pushed to buy now. Some want to think about it. And that's their protection mechanism against bad experiences and the high pressure sales and maybe things that have happened to them in the past, is they want to feel in control, right? They don't want to lose control to being persuaded or manipulated, tricked, and whatnot to move forward. They want to know that they're making the decision, right? They want to buy. They don't want to be sold. Now, many people out there, and one of the common kind of mottos is people don't like to be, don't like to buy. People like to be sold to. And that, I believe, is fundamentally not true as a universal strategy. I think people like to be persuaded. I think people like to have wisdom shared with them at scale, but fundamentally, people want to feel like they're the ones buying and they're the ones in control and they're the ones that are hiring you and your company, whatever your product or service is. They're hiring you as their guide to help them get to a better place. Again, it doesn't matter what it is, but people want to feel like that. Now, some personality types like the game. They like the excitement. They want to get fired up. They want to have that experience. But ultimately, it's up to them. And the more you have that strategy, which is people don't like to buy, they like to be sold to, the more likely, my guess is, that you have more buyer's remorse that's going to happen after the fact, which I did in a previous session where we talked about buyer's remorse, what triggers that, and then what to do about it and help mitigate against it. So the thing is that you've got to understand is that there's going to be people you cannot close, shouldn't close, won't close, or if you're in a sales process that's multiple steps, you just won't have that be a function. You won't have that one call close. If you're in a, let's say a B2B SaaS software technology role, you're very, very rarely going to ever have a one call close. If you do, it's so rare that you cannot build a sales process around it. If it happens, it's amazing and great, but that's like the extremes. And so you can't build a process assuming that or pushing for that. You just want to accept those when they come along. Otherwise, just build it for multiple steps. Because we're dealing with humans, and humans are messy, they're afraid, they like the known, they don't like the unknown, they don't like change, all of these things we've talked about, then you need to understand that and do some work before you get off the phone call or finish your meeting with them to set yourself up for success in that follow-up, and then also how to do that follow-up. And I did a session before from a chapter from Selling with Authentic Persuasion, where I talked about the follow-up trap and why that gets people in trouble and what happens with that. The fundamentals, though, just as a recap, is that with the follow-up trap, what's missing in the follow-up is that you don't actually know why somebody wants or needs what it is that you're selling. See, a lot of people in sales roles, they see themselves as the hero. And this goes back to something fundamentally I've been talking about for like the last 6 months now, is that salespeople and companies feel like they are the hero. They're the ones solving a problem. And that's fair, right? Like, that's coming from a place that makes sense. I'm not trying to say like this doesn't make sense and people are narcissists or egomaniacs. It has nothing to do with that. It's more the fact that a company is usually started by somebody who sees a problem or a need in the marketplace. And they say, I could build a better mousetrap, or I think I can do that better, or I can do that and make money and help people. Hopefully that's the end of the spectrum. There's also the other end of the spectrum, which is I can build this business. I can sell to people. I can make money. And I don't necessarily care what happens to them. That group I'm not referring. I don't want to talk about. But what happens is people start companies because they have some kind of value they want to provide to people. A lot of times, as Michael Gerber talks about in E-Myth Revisited, it's usually that entrepreneurial spasm where someone says, hey, I'm good at doing this thing. Let me start a business doing the same thing, and then let me offer it. Where the challenge comes in is that most of the time when that happens, that person starting the company and the value they're providing, and then the sales team that they hire, they feel like their job is to be the hero. They're there to save the day, to help people get to a better place because they're amazing and everyone should want it. That's why a lot of times I talk to salespeople that are selling something that I've never heard of before, right? Usually some kind of technology or platform, and they just think everybody should want it. And they think it's amazing. And they think that this is going to be adopted by everybody and everyone's going to want it. And that's because they're in hero mode, which is we have the solution, right? I have the most amazing thing in the world and everyone's just going to want it, instead of being in the guide mode, which is I want to find your issue and your situation. Then I want to help you, especially if it's with my product or service. The follow-up trap means that what happens when your follow-ups aren't happening, when they don't answer, when they don't call back, when they don't show up your appointments or your demos, they don't respond to your emails, it's because the value wasn't created. And by extension, my guess and my experience says that you as a salesperson do not actually know why that person wants or needs your product or service. You think you know. Maybe you just assume that everyone wants it because this is what it says in the brochure or on the website, or what you were taught in training, or what you know it could be valuable for, but you don't actually understand at an individual level, that human, right? Again, not B2C, not B2B, H to H, that human, what do they want or need? And how does your product or service fit into that? And that solves the follow-up trap in so many ways, because now you're building the value. And then in your follow-ups are stronger. So that's why I wrote about that in the book, in the follow-up trap chapter. Here, we're talking about people who won't buy today and the various scenarios. So some of it we're going to touch on with the follow-up trap as well. The things to keep in mind, and this is the scenarios that we see, is when somebody says, I need to think about it. Like, let me know. Feel free to put in the comments or just keep track of it in your head of how many of these resonate with you and you hear regularly. I need to think about it. I need to check with so-and-so. It could be their spouse, could be their friend, could be their Uncle Bob, who always is the one they go to for everything and seems to know everything about everything. No matter what you're selling, they generally have this uncle or aunt or friend who knows it, even though they've never sold it, bought it maybe, but it's just that person they trust. Could be their boss. So if you're selling to businesses, could be their boss, could be their business partner, could be a manager, somebody that works for them, whoever, right? So there's, I need to check with so-and-so. There's send me more information. And then the one that I always love, which I kind of mentioned early on, which is I don't make decisions like this on the spot, right? I need to research this. I will let you know. I don't buy on the first call. And so on. So those things there, that's what a lot of people face, especially if they are trying to close something on the first call or the first meeting or in that moment. Now, a close can be many different things. And I wrote about this in the book as well, where let's say like I have an amazing team I'm working with right now, and they are in an SDR appointment setting capacity. Their close is not someone to pay for something, to grab a credit card, to sign an invoice, to sign an agreement. Their close is to set an appointment for a demonstration of a B2B SaaS platform, right? So that's their close. What happens is you still get to the end of those phone calls where people say, send me more information, or I need to check with so-and-so. I need to think about it, right? I don't make decisions like this on the spot. So send me an email and I'll get back to you. And they're, again, just trying to wrestle control or maintain control. And so for you, your close is going to be relative to what you're selling. Could be the close, right? With a transaction that occurs, or close for the next step that you want to have happen. So keep that in mind. And you can see how these things pop up in your conversations when you hit the close of that interaction. And then where people don't want to buy today. Again, they don't want to set up the appointment. They don't want to schedule that demo. They don't actually want to do the contract or pay or become a client or buy your car or sign up for your insurance, whatever that looks like. And so you thought it was going well. You hit a wall and they hit you with one of these objections or stalls or pauses or just deal breakers, right? Depending on how you feel about these. So let's talk about why this happens. And I've kind of mentioned it a few times leading into this. Fundamentally, here's the biggest thing. They just don't trust you. That's it, right? Like if we just narrow it down to one thing, which some people might argue it's more than that, fundamentally, they don't trust you. You didn't build enough trust, and they don't trust in you, your company, the process, what's going to happen next. There's something that was missing. If you remember, if you went through the sessions I did on the authentic persuasion pathway, remember when you're talking to someone who has yet to decide, if they're not a customer, the biggest thing they fear is change. They are inside their comfort zone. They're safe inside of that comfort zone in the middle. They're talking to you. You either called them or they called you. They filled out a form or they walked into your dealership or you know, they filled out a form and you called them, whatever that looks like. They were safe inside what they know. Outside of that is the unknown, right? It's outside of their comfort zone. And that is dangerous and it feels scary out there. Now, of course, your job is to help them move out safely. That's the biggest thing. That's your one focus. That's what I covered in the Authentic Persuasion Pathway session. So remember, safe is an acronym that you want to always remember, which is successful at fear elimination. You have one job, and that's to help your prospects feel safe, successful at fear elimination. That's your one focus. When you help them overcome their fear, primarily their fear of change, secondarily, it could be the fear of gross, terrible salespeople or sales tactics or other fears and issues they might have around their past experiences. When you help them feel safe, around their fear of change, then you will be effective at moving people forward. And the rest of it's usually just admin, right? It's paperwork, it's transactions, it's payments, it's picking the options, picking the colors, picking the type of insurance policy, whatever that might be. when people aren't letting you move through the process that you have in place, which is why a few weeks ago, I talked about having a sales process, which is why this is so important, is that when you get to the point where they should be moving forward, they have a need that you can solve. They have a goal that you can help them achieve, and they don't let you get there as their guide. One of the challenges could be that they just don't trust you. You haven't done a good job of making them feel safe, and they just won't let you. And so they're trying to stay in control because it's safe inside their comfort zone in what they know. So always remember that when you hear these things, right? Going through the list again, I have to think about it. I need to check with so-and-so. Send me more information. I don't make decisions like this on the spot. That is a trust issue. They fundamentally don't trust you in this moment, and they don't feel safe in moving forward. How can I say that? Because that is what's keeping them from moving forward. Unless, of course, you have a process that takes lots of steps and no one ever buys on the spot. But fundamentally, whatever you're trying to close, right? Maybe the next close is, hey, the next part is I need to set an appointment and I need to have you talk to so-and-so on our team. And they say, well, send me information. I need to think about it. That's because they don't trust you. They don't trust you. They don't trust who that next person is. They don't trust the process. They don't trust what you're trying to do to them. And that's what they're worried about. They don't realize you're there to help them, which is where the authentic persuasion piece comes in. Because once you realize that sales is service and sales is something you're doing for and with them, and once you can convey that, especially through the five phases of the authentic persuasion pathway, then they will understand that and they will trust you, which is part of those five steps. It's the third step, which is the trust and credibility phase. Once you get there, then you're moving forward in a different way than what they're expecting. But fundamentally, if they're using those kind of stalls at the end of the conversation where you want to move them forward, it's because they don't trust you. Now, again, one thing to keep in mind, you could be amazing. You could build some amazing rapport. You could have taken them through the empathy phase with your discovery questions and active listening and actually caring about them and their answers and wanting the best for them. You could have done all those things to perfection in that conversation with them, right? Not perfection like textbook, like here's how you have to do it, but in that conversation with them, doing it and satisfying it before moving forward. Then you hit the trust step and you did your part there, and then the hope step and then the urgency, and you're ready to move forward. But there are times where you can do all of that properly and what works usually, and you still end up with these stalls at the end where people need more information. They don't buy on the spot. They need to talk to so-and-so. Sometimes that's not you. That's, again, their past experiences. For example, if you've ever seen anyone or met anyone, or maybe you're trying to get into a relationship and somebody had a really bad experience with a previous, like, significant other, romantic partner in a relationship, their walls are going to be up and they're going to be on the lookout for things that make them feel like maybe you're just like that other person, right? Because they got burned, because it hurt so bad. And depending on how bad it hurt, their walls are going to be extra high and extra thick. And then that's what you're up against. You could be the best person in the world. You could be a perfect fit for them, a perfect match. And still you're going to meet this resistance because of what they're bringing. They're bringing that painful baggage with them of their past experience into this new relationship. And see it all the time. It happens. It's human nature. You touch the hot stove. You don't want to touch the hot stove again. So how do I make sure I don't do that and I keep myself safe dealing with other humans? It just means we've got to put these barriers around ourselves. When you're in a sales role, you're dealing with that plus more because you're dealing with people's fundamental resistance to change, their fear of the unknown. You're dealing with things like, depending on what you're selling, it affects them and others, right? So if you're dealing with somebody and you're selling them, let's say insurance, and they're in a family, they don't want to make a mistake for their behalf and for the family and for the future for many different reasons, right? If they work at a business, you're selling B2B, they don't want to make a mistake because it's not just them and their ego and their feelings that'll get hurt, but it could be their job, it could be their career, could have this crazy domino effect. So you're up against that. And like I was just saying, you're also up against their past experiences, their prejudices, their bias, their feelings about salespeople, their feelings about the way that you're coming across. It could be so many different things that where you're doing things properly, you're following the process that works really well, and then it still doesn't work. So always keep in mind, there are those times there where you literally, you just can't do anything about it. That person has been burned before or burned so many times, they're not letting you move forward without it, okay? So always keep that in mind. Here's my suggestion. Let's get into some strategies, some things to do when you end up in this position. So you have gone through your process, and you get to the need more information, send me an email. I don't make decisions like this on the spot. I got to talk to so-and-so. In the moment, here's what you should do. And then afterwards, I'll give you some suggestions as well. In the moment, the best thing to do is call it like it is. This is part of what I've done that I feel is very effective for me. And what I think is very true when you look at authentic persuasion, especially, again, from a place of service, not in a place of, I want to sell you because I have a quota, I have numbers to hit, I need money, I want to make money, I just want to close deals and I don't care what happens to people. Not in that mindset, but in a mindset of, I want to help you. You have problem X or goal X, and I have solution X, and I know I can get you to a better place. And so if I don't, I feel like I failed you. Remember, it is your duty to help the right people buy. And duty, acronym I use, is driven until the yes. When you know that you have someone you can help in some way as their guide, you should just keep moving that way. And so when we get to one of these needs more information, call it like it is and bring it up. What you don't want to do is what I see a lot of weaker salespeople who are afraid of confrontation, or people who are also on the spectrum where they're acting more like order takers. And so they're just going through the motions, hoping people will buy from them. And sometimes that is the same person or the same mindset that's going on inside. And what happens is that kind of person gets to the need more information. They say, okay, great, I'll send you more information. Give me a call when you have a chance, or follow up and let me know if you've decided that you want to move forward, right? Done, promise. You'll never talk to that person again. If they do call you, if they do email you, if they do come back to your car dealership or your store again, that's a blessing, but you're going to be broke if you're relying on those people to come back to you with that kind of a setup. Instead, what I have found works really well, and this is where authentic persuasion, empathy, actually caring about people has to be involved in this, because what you want to say is something along the lines of, I totally understand you want more information. You can say one of two things. One is, okay, based on that, what kind of information would you like me to send? Because I have so many things I could send you. I could easily overwhelm you. So narrow it down. Let me know what would help you the most in moving forward with this, right? So that's like the basic. That one's okay. It's not my favorite, but that is better than nothing, right? And get them to give you some ideas. And then what you would want to do is then address that and say, well, I want to know more information about the pricing. Okay. Well, then you talk about pricing and do everything you can to not send information, because most likely sending information will just allow them to get you off the phone. And then they're done with you and they're back to their comfort zone. They're back to the safety of what they know. And they will probably be thankful that they got out of the situation without buying from you. I know for myself, I've had some sales interactions where I've fallen under the spell. And it's like, next thing I know, it's like, wait a second, I don't want to do this. And then I get out and then I'm like, send me more information, or, you know, whatever, send me an email. And then I'm like, that was close. Like, I almost bought something and that would have sucked and I would have been mad at myself. So I'm glad I got out of that. That's what you don't want those people to feel like. And that's what you want to help avoid, is, you know, getting to that point. And you also want to call it like it is. Now, here's the second thing that I recommend instead of that first approach. When someone says, I need more information, one of the things I've found well, and obviously phrase this in your own way, is to say something like, I can totally send you more information. Here's what I know from doing this for quite some time is, Sometimes when people ask for more information or tell me to send them an email with more information, it's because they truly want some more information. They want to take their time. They need to look at some things. They want to research it. And they want to make sure they're making the right decision, which I totally understand. I'm that same kind of person. When I'm a customer, I want to make sure I'm making the right decision without getting too much stuck in like analysis paralysis and going down too many rabbit holes of data. Other times when people tell me that they want me to send them more information or send them an email, it's actually because they're not interested and they don't want to buy from me or they don't want to keep talking to me, but they like me and they appreciate me and I seem like a nice guy and they don't want to hurt my feelings. So that's the nicest way they can get off the phone with me without telling me no. Now, just to confirm, it's not that second case with you, correct? And what I'm doing in that scenario is I'm calling it like it is. There's two groups of people. There's the people who actually want more info. And then there's the people who are nice and want to say no, but don't want to hurt your feelings. Because we already know the group that will say no because they're confrontational, right? If we look at DISC and behavior matrix and all kinds of things, we know who's going to literally tell you no to your face. Then we know the ones who are not going to tell you no to your face because they're not confrontational. And so the ones who tell you no, you're dealing with them already because you're overcoming their objections. The other group is what we want to find out. And so we want to call it like it is. They might say, no, I just really not interested. I just didn't want to hurt your feelings. If you know that you could help them and what you have is valuable, that's when the persuasion and the sales professional side needs to come on. That's when you go into, I totally understand. And this is what I say. I totally understand. I am sorry about that. I know that this could help you. I know we talked about it and I understand like, maybe you just don't trust that this is the right thing. And then you go into trying to recover that and save that and help them see the value if you can, addressing bad experiences they might have had in the past, all kinds of things you could take from there. If they say, no, I think this would be great. I just want more information. I need to run this past my spouse or my boss, or I just want to look at it because I want to make sure this is going to be the right thing for me. I want to compare this to what I already have in place, like for insurance or whatever it might be. Then you say, great, that makes total sense. What kind of information would you like? Like what would help you the most in this situation? Then they tell you, and then it's okay to say, all right, I will send you an email with that information. And then, of course, you want to set a very strong follow-up appointment so that you can make sure to move it forward. It's nothing wrong with sending information. There's a lot of people out there I listen to where it's like sending information is the death and you should never do that like it under any circumstance because then your deal is over. And that's not the case. Every buyer is different. Some people need that or want that. And what's interesting is if you do it well, if you do what I just said in your own way and set a very strong follow-up, and then you send them information without pushing them up in the way that other salespeople would have pushed them. Many buyers will actually appreciate the fact that you didn't go in for the kill, that you didn't try to manipulate them in the moment, that you didn't try to bribe them with, hey, if you make a decision by the end of the day, it's Friday, Good Friday today. So, you know, we're running a special for Easter. So if you, you know, I can send you some information, but if you sign up today, I can do 10%, right? Like, if you don't do those gross sales manipulation tactics and you give that percentage of buyers what they're looking for and the respect and showing them that you respect them and you trust that it's a good idea. And if it's a good idea today on Friday, it'll be a good idea on Monday as well. When you do that, those buyers, easy, they're done, right? You don't want to do it every time. That's where order takers get in trouble. They send information hoping that it's going to work. You've got to know how to work through that process. That's why I said sales process a few weeks ago, super important to have in place. Do not shy away from having that conversation and putting them on the spot with empathy, with care, from a place of love. And you want to help them, not confrontation, not being dramatic, not trying to manipulate them. I've heard some salespeople try to use this kind of tactic and strategy in a conversation where it just felt confrontational and dramatic, right? Well, I could send you more information, but what do you want, right? Are you just trying to blow me off? Like they're having this confrontational tone and they might win the battle, but they're going to lose the war and then they're going to have nothing to show for it. So you've got to make sure it's coming from a place of empathy and care. When you do that, you can say a lot of things that other people think maybe you shouldn't say when you're calling it out. Like, is it just because you want to say no and you don't like me? Is that what it is? Like, or is it that you want more information? Like, I'm okay either way. I deal with a lot of people all the time. I know sometimes people don't like me. That's all right. I'm just here to help you. I know based on what you told me, you have this situation. This is your goal. I think we both agreed that this would be the best thing for you. So I just want to make sure it's nothing other than the business side and you needing some more time, right? Just call like it is. Again, if you remember, if you've tuned into any of these for any length of time, my fundamental number one piece of advice when people make me give one piece of advice for success in sales, which I do not like to do, but there's one that I'll do, which is do the opposite of what you think a salesperson should do. In those moments, if you think your job is to offer discounts or be gross or be pushy or be like, I'm not sending you an email, let's do this right now. That's my job. That's why I'm on the phone with you. That's what they're expecting. That's what they're worried about. When you do that, that feeds into their fear about you, the salesperson, and why they think sales is gross and something to be feared. When you do that, it feeds into that, makes them right. And I promise they're gone, absolutely gone. When you do the opposite, because you care, even if you call it out and be like, I can send you information, but do you really want information? Then that's something different. That's what they're looking for. Now, that's the first part. All right. Second part. So that's in the moment, right? And then you want to go through your process. And if you have more questions about that, you can always reach out to me, direct message me on whatever platform you're on. You can email me. I'm going to mention the ebook that I recommend that kind of goes with this at the end. So that's in the moment. Afterwards, two big things. One is assess and review how the conversation went. Because what I know from a manager, leader, outside perspective, listening to, I gotta say, thousands and thousands of calls by now, is that when the I need more information, send me an email follow-up happens, most of the time, not every time, most of the time, there wasn't enough trust and safety built in during the conversation where someone felt okay to move forward. Right? There wasn't enough. It's when I listen to that call or sit in on that meeting where, or watch the replay of a video conference where I can tell those pieces were missing. The salesperson took on the role of the hero and the other person didn't feel safe and they didn't trust that that hero actually cared about them and knew the best way to do it. Right? And it being safely move up the mountain. So that's usually what happens. If you're getting that a bunch, if you're getting, I need more information, send me more information, send me a follow-up email, I need to talk to so-and-so, those three categories, if you're getting that often enough relative to the number of conversations you're having, it's you. It's something you're doing. And it could be the fact that marketing is saying something, you're getting on the phone and it doesn't jive, which is why I talked about marketing and sales working together, especially on continuing the conversation in the sales experience, like I talked about last week in session 27. So it might be that, it might be you. You might be missing some of the fundamentals, which is why I recommend the authentic persuasion pathway and making sure you do those steps every time, because that will address most of these trust issues when you do it in that order. And so if you're getting this a bunch, have someone listen to your calls, have your manager do it. If you don't have a manager, or if you just have a crappy manager who's overwhelmed with admin stuff because the company is burying them in things to do, get a coach, join a group, have someone, find someone to listen to your calls, give you some feedback and help you. Because if you don't get help, you're not going to be successful in sales because you're not going to be able to change what's fundamentally missing. And what's missing is something that's leading your people to not trust you in the moment at scale. And you're never going to make the money you want to make. You might not even be able to retain your job because you're missing that fundamental piece, which is people don't trust you. So that's the big thing. If you're seeing this a bunch, whatever that looks like for your own volume of conversations, get help. Have someone review your calls internally, externally, whatever it is, but get help to identify what it is that's missing, right? So that's the first big piece. The second piece is when you do these follow-ups. So you sent your email, right? You sent more information. Are they going to talk to Uncle Bob? You sent some information from the share to Uncle Bob. That follow-up is so important. Remember, this is the part that I covered in the book on the follow-up trap, and I did a session, I don't even remember how many weeks ago, on the follow-up trap. You can just look for that in the replays and look for the title, the follow-up trap. It's all about that follow-up being tied to why they want or need what it is that's being offered, which is why you must know that. If you don't know why they want or need it, you're an order taker. Not always bad. Sometimes they won't give you the opportunity. Sometimes they won't share. Their walls are up really high. Maybe you don't have the time in the brief conversation you have, which is okay. But if that's the case, their follow-ups are not going to be very effective. So you've got to know why they want or need what it is that's being sold or offered so that you can do a good follow-up and you can call up John and say, hey, John, following up on that email, and I know that we talked about this being valuable for you and you having this goal and we were going to do this. The information I sent, was that helpful? Should we move forward? Did you talk to Uncle Bob? What did he say? Should we talk to him together? There's all kinds of different things. I covered that in way more detail in the follow-up trap episode. So make sure to check that out. But no matter what, remember, if you don't have the why, their why, of why they want or need what it is that you're offering, then you're an order taker and your follow-ups are going to be weak. They might work. Some of them might work. But if you have that challenge where you're calling people, you're following up, you're leaving messages, no one's returning your messages, no one's returning your emails, it's because you don't know why they would want to do it. And if you don't know why they want to do it, my guess is they probably don't know why they want to do it. And you're relying on them to know why. And then what's going to happen is your success is going to be when they realize why and they realize their own urgency, then they will decide to call you back. Until then, it's not going to be super effective. So hope that helps. Just looking through on LinkedIn, I have it here on the phone in front of me. Michael McGuire, good to see you in here from Nobel Biz. He asked a question about how do you know when it's diversion versus genuine, and then said, got it, because I covered that part. Remember, here's the biggest thing, because kind of addressing what Michael said, and then we'll wrap up today. When is it a diversion? When is it a genuine issue they have, objection? Ask them with empathy, with care in your voice, and because you care, because sales is service and you want to help them, either help them buy or help them find a different solution or help keep them from buying something they don't need to buy, help keep them from buying from somebody else that they also don't need to buy from, is to ask them, right? In your own language, what works for you. Is this just a diversion? Are you stalling? Are you trying to get rid of me without hurting my feelings? Or is there information I could send you that would actually help you make a decision and move forward? So just remember that. When in doubt, just ask, bring it up, talk to them, again, from a place of empathy. So best thing I can recommend as kind of a call to action for this is to understand more about objections and where they come from. I have my ebook. It's a sales consultant's guide to overcoming objections, both yours and theirs. The part about yours I've covered in other sessions, and that's always fascinating because a lot of people don't realize where that gets in the way, which could also be leading to your need more information, send me an email. I don't make decisions on the spot. I have an interesting story about that if you ever want to hear about it from a rep of mine. But that ebook, Overcoming Objections, there's understanding, is it an objection? Is it a concern? Is it just a question? How to handle it, where that's coming from, and then how to address it to move it forward from a place of understanding. Why did they ask this? Where is this coming from? And then how can I help them safely move forward? So if you want a copy of that, it's on Amazon, or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Just put overcoming objections in the email subject. And then when I see that, I'll just send you the PDF so that you've got it. No strings attached, no other call to action other than just want to get that in your hands. I also have a guide in the ebook. It also references a guide that you can download to help with, you know, something you can print and have at your desk for understanding the fundamentals of where that person might be coming from, what they might be afraid of, and then some of the opening lines to use on overcoming objections that I have found work universally well. And I'm not talking about here's what to say if they bring up price. Here's what to say if they talk about, I need to ask my spouse, right? Not like individual overcoming objections. I'm talking fundamentals, things that you can use more universally, especially once you understand the why and the where it's coming from. That's a lot of what I focus on. It's not so much like, here's what to say in this moment and here's what to do. It's if you have the fundamentals in place, if you have a very strong foundation of sales, authenticity, persuasion, understanding the other person, what they want, understanding what your role is in the process, then the rest of it's just easy. The rest of it's just things you can add in and get better at, but you got to have that foundation in place. So if you want the Overcoming Objections ebook, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. But that's it for today's session, session number 28. Hope everybody, if you're watching this live or watching this really soon after it went live, I hope you have a great Easter weekend, and I will see you all next week on session 29. That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.